we are going to read what we discussed this weekend are missing out an essential element if it doesn't come, because we have a tendency when we open our eyes, as the kids say, open your eyes, you know, when you open your eyes, then we are in there, you know,
fighting.
Yeah, fighting. And I think that what, for instance, it was very moving to me that what Nancy said, for instance, ties in with what John said, when was it, yesterday, day before, when you talked about the mass of faces that you were haunted by, that you feel you had to speak to. She said the same about the sea of youth, you know. There is in this group a sense of mission that is searching. And maybe we should dedicate ourselves this morning, which may, for all we know, be the last morning of this group. We should possibly keep it in the, on the affirmative level, so that I wondered, as I sat here, whether it would be possible, instead of writing this letter, you know, and so on, whether we mightn't all in turn, in a brief statement, say what to us is the positive sense we take out of this meeting. Whether there is this horizon that you talk about. And what is it? Are we going there? And do you feel we are?
I'm not sure that we don't have some sort of unfinished work on what we were starting on.
All right, well, fine. It is just as we must be aware, I feel, of the limitation of time.
Yeah, I guess...
May I just... I'm not fleeing, but I'm... Yes, and real coffee, please.
No sugar.
I just think we have to be specific at this point about what we are or not going to do. For instance, we meet again. And what do we do between those sessions? And then I think that we should try to go back to what Jan has asked, if we can. But I just don't see any alternative but to be very specific at this point in the plan. And I guess the first question is, do we want to plan a weekend? And when? And under what financial conditions?
May I make this suggestion? I suspect, maybe it's wishful thinking, but I suspect Lloyd is being more pessimistic than necessary about how far our funds are going to stretch. We do have reserved the last weekend on October at Pendle Hill for next fall. We made that arrangement for February.
Is this something that should be said to people who are absent?
Mm-hmm. You mean in the kitchen?
Yes, I think maybe it's a little previous.
Yeah. Well, let's get an agenda set up. I would see first deciding about the weekend and its basis, and then given that date, to be very specific about what responsibilities some or all of us have with regard to the things we talked about Friday night. That is, if we're all supposed to go through these records, what we are supposed to do with them, what we're supposed to look for, and if we're supposed to write them, what we're supposed to write, and if any of us are supposed to submit any of this to other people. I think we have to pin down these concretes, and then we can go on with the thing that we've seen.
Yeah, I think there is a very real sense in which the spirit which would be felt in the meeting that we have just had is not something you postpone till after the practical matters are taken care of. It is a spirit, as I understand it, in which friends do conduct their business, and if this by necessity is the business part of the morning, then this is where it is almost, it's appropriate here, if it's appropriate anywhere, to try to carry through, as Jan has suggested, the spirit that we felt.
Right.
So in a sense it is, now let's do the business first and then pick up where we have just left off.
Thank you.
I've just suggested to Jan that part of what he was concerned about might be done if someone could, while it's still fresh today, try to reconstruct in some way for those not here what was said during the ministry. I think that, even though it couldn't be done word for word, just to share it with those who are going to read the tapes.
Well, we can write it out, huh?
What?
I said we can write out what we said.
Each one of us. Yeah, I'd appreciate that because I didn't get the end of what you said. So shall each one of us, the four of us who spoke, just briefly?
Yeah,
that's good.
That's a good idea.
And then you want to put this in the tape?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to go in the tape.
Oh, no, I think it should at that point.
That is why. I mean, I feel that our friends who weren't here, but although
well,
they were
here. Let's say we put it in, we put it in the transcript.
Yes.
Oh, well,
excuse me.
All right, then each one of us will have responsibility to forward this to Scott.
Okay.
Jan, while you're out, I was saying that I feel we have no alternative at this point but to decide concrete details. For instance, do we need a hearing? And as Nancy well suggests, this can be done precisely in the spirit.
No, yes. May I, in continuation of the ministry, John spoke for the mass of people who, like woman, he saw surrounding him, and to whom he wanted to speak a word of comfort, and he felt it as a pressing responsibility. Nancy ministered about the sea of youth who were searching and to whom a word should be spoken. And I felt very conscious of another sea of people who have vanished in what we call the darkness, but which in reality is nothing but the shadow of our planet, beyond the horizon, which is the limitation of our sight, which is the friends who went before, and whose name we have appropriated. I felt during our meetings, and last night, more strongly than ever, what James Walker felt when he rose during that weekend off the backbenchers that was given here at Pendle Hill. I think we all know who James Walker is. And at a given moment he rose and he said something that was, to me, very significant. Because it is spoken in the spirit of love and of criticism. He said, "May I remind friends that we are members of a religious society, that it is not a substitute for the analyst's couch, nor is it a group of people who are united by liberal causes. It is a religious society of friends which is essentially Christian in its origin, and it must remain so if we want to go on calling ourselves this. He says, we have a heritage which we can either accept or deny, but which we must not turn into something that is the reverse of itself. And this, I feel, we must be mindful of. I feel that in our discussion last night, a few things were spoken that to me gave the conclusion that we have indeed fulfilled our objective. We have, in our deliberations, shown, if not the future of Quakerism, we've shown its present state, which is that we all love one another dearly, that as a group we are active and full of goodwill. However, that the man who speaks about Christ, the kingdom of God, the Sermon on the Mount, and the Spirit, irritates, and that the chairman of our group said at a given moment, well, he started to talk about Christ and the kingdom, and that just tuned me out. This is all quite legitimate, and it is not that I say this in criticism. However, we must be aware, friends, that if we rule out these elements, we are no longer talking about Quakerism. We are talking about a group of people who are searching and who are looking for self-confirmation, which then ultimately will lead to the confirmation of the other. This in the sense of Quakerism is not enough. Without wanting to be facetious, it is being proud that you are no longer looking at your own navel, but that you are mirroring yourself in the minute mirror of perspiration in the navel of the other person. The Jesus, if he was anything at all, in the history of the Society of Friends, was an other dimension. He was man broken through into a fourth dimension. George Fox had this dimension. And it is the strange, I won't say curse, but fate of the Society of Friends, that at its very origin, the future's condition has been prepared. George Fox, in his original journal, as I mentioned before, went through miracles. Things happened that cannot be explained in any scientific or physical way. They happened. They were edited out of his original manuscript. And the journal we have had for three centuries was denuded of that element. Margaret Fell, who was present or aware of the editing, let it pass. And there can only be one explanation why she did. She let it pass because her George did not consider it important. The interesting part is of that journal that the miracles that are there were not considered important. And we will find the same thing in the New Testament when Jesus says, "Ah, ye vain generation, you are waiting for miracles, and you do not listen to the word." The power that was at the origin of these miracles still moves among us. I feel that this group has served its purpose, that we have shown the present condition of the Society of Friends. And I do not think that we can do much else. I think that each man here, in love and respect for his friend, has stated not only his own personality, but his cause. And let us never forget that the cause of the Religious Society of Friends is to, if we can, interpret to the coming generation what is this thing called the Kingdom of God, what is the role of Christ, and if these things have no role, may we call ourselves any longer the Society, the Religious Society of Friends. The backbenchers ask themselves, wouldn't it be time, at a given moment, to disband the Society of Friends? I don't think that is necessary. I think that if we abandon our source, we will disband ourselves.